Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's just one faith, which is the doctrine of Christ. Now, look at 2 John. 2 John. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Well, that the doctrine of Christ is the faith, or it's the faith of God's elect. It is the that body of truth that comprises or makes up the gospel. Justification by the blood of the Son of God. Pardoned by through his blood, sanctification by the Spirit, and all of those wonderful things that God has taught us in the gospel. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, or this whoever comes not of this faith, if they are of a contrary faith, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, if we have the knowledge of the Son of God, if we know the Son of God, if we know God, that's eternal life. To know Him is to believe Him, is to rest in Him, is to have found our place in Him. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. Till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now God absolutely demands and will have nothing less of us except sinless perfection, which we in ourselves have no way of achieving, because we're sinners by our nature. We have with sin is in us. It oozes from us. We can't help it. It's just part of us in our nature of the flesh. We have thoughts of envy, lust, hatred. Every base and evil thing will come forth out of the heart of man, because man by nature is evil, and we receive that evil. We were not created in that way, but we fell into that condition in the fall of Adam. So, in order for God to receive us as perfect, as accounted perfect, we must not come to Him in ourselves. We must come to Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to Him in Christ. And there's only one way to be in Christ, and that's to have been elected in Christ before the foundation of the world. But we'll get to that a little more later on too. That from henceforth you no more be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now Christ is the head of His church. Look back at Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under His feet, and given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The church is the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who fills that fullness, who fills each of us by His Spirit, who lives in us by His Spirit. Look at 1 John 4:13. Now this to me is an amazing verse of scripture. John, 1 John 4:13, I'm sorry. Well, okay, since I had you go to John, just stay right there and go to John 3:6. John 3:6. Now this is another amazing verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now we know what that means. Flesh and blood breeds flesh and blood. Okay. And that which is born of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, capital S, is Spirit. Now, at the spiritual birth, there's something born. It's not a metaphor. We might as well make the whole Bible a metaphor as to say that, well, that's speaking metaphorically. No. There's something born at the birth. It is of the Spirit. It is a spiritual entity, and it is a spirit of life. It is that new life that's in us at the spiritual birth. All right, now then go to 1 John 4:13. John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Look at Revelation 11:11. Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entereth into them. Well, that's already happened to us. Let's talk about the resurrection of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. But the Spirit of life from God enters into us, and it is our life. Look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Well, there is a sense in which we are dead with Christ, because crucified with Christ, and we're dead to the law and dead to sin by our death in the Lord Jesus Christ. When death seizes upon us, then the law of the land has no more to do with us. And since we are crucified with Christ and have died with Christ, buried with him, been risen again, then the law of God hath no more to do with us as far as punitive relations are concerned, as far as penal arrangements. We're dead to the law, dead to sin. But look on. Ephesians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. How? By his Spirit that is given us. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, now, if we live in Christ, we have risen in Christ. If we have the faith of the Son of God, if we believe Christ Jesus, if we believe the gospel, then we are risen with Christ, and he hath put His Spirit in us, and it is that Spirit that's in us that is our life and has caused us to believe. All right. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, for ye are dead. Dead with Christ, crucified with Christ, dead to the law, dead to sin, justified by His righteousness. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now look at 1 John 5:7. Well, let's 5:6. 1 John 5:6. This is He that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and by blood. Now, water in this sense speaks of the washing of water by the Word. And it brings about sanctification. And the Word here is referred to as water, this Word. It washes us. Okay? But He came not by water only, but by water and blood. The water speaks of our sanctification. And that is our experiential sanctification. Not the sanctification of God the Father, who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and not particularly the sanctification of the Spirit in the new birth, but it is our cleansing from our appetites of the world. I'll put it that way. We have a new outlook, a new object, and a new love, and that is obedience. Our new desire is to be Christ-like. Is to walk in obedience to Christ, to be obedient as dear children. All right. This is He that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, when they pierced His side, forthwith came out water and blood for the washing and justification of His church and people. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, the Spirit is in us, is a Spirit of truth. 1 John 4:14-17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. They're not of the truth. But the Spirit that is in us is a Spirit of truth, and therefore when you hear the truth, when you hear the gospel preached, then you know by that Spirit that's in you, that bear witness to what you hear, that is the truth. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and it bears witness to the truth. When you hear the truth, you know it. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, God the Father, the Word, that's God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record. This is the record that God has given us. This is a witness that God has borne, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. Well, go to 3:16 first. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye, that is believers, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, isn't that a remarkable thing? That the Holy Ghost dwells in us as in the temple. All right, also now then go to 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Small is. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Same life. Same spirit of life. Spirit of truth is in us that is in Christ Jesus. That's the reason we are enabled to believe the truth. And that's the reason we know the truth as the truth when we hear the truth. We know we're hearing the gospel when we hear the gospel because the Spirit that's in us bears witness. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Now he talks in the first several verses here about the gifts of the Spirit, and some of those are departed from the church as the office of an apostle is departed from the church. No longer, there are no apostles, and there are no gifts of the apostles today. But today we live by faith. It was needful in that day that it might be established by sight. But now we walk not by sight, but by faith. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12:12. As the body is one and hath many members, many individual members, many cells, many parts, many whatever, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now that is Christ, the head and the body taken together. The second Christ, personal Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the second man. He is the head of the body of the church. But Christ joined to his church is that one new man, as in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, I think it is. Having broken down the middle wall of partition between us, for to making himself of twain, both Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. That new man is a new in the respect that it's a thing that is brought forth of that which was prophesied in the Old Testament, but is brought into being in the New Testament, which is Christ joined to his church. Is one new man. And as everyone in the Ark of Noah passed through the wrath of God, and the wrath of God fell on them inside the ark, all of us who are in Jesus Christ receive his perfections. And so we're perfect in him. By one offering, Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, he, all by himself, hath perfected forever. He didn't try. He didn't make men savable or make it possible so men could be saved. He saved his people from their sins by one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, them that were set apart in the covenant of grace, in the decree of election before the foundation of the world. Those that were sanctified by God the Father, put in the Son, are perfected in the Son by His one offering. Look at Hebrews 10:10. Hebrews 10:10. And I want to back up and read a verse or two before that, beginning at verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Now they had their place in the Old Testament as instruments of instruction for the church in its infancy. How does God put away sin? By the shedding of blood. Well, in all those lambs and bullock and so on that was slain in the Old Testament, that was all pictures and types to get the church accustomed to the idea of a blood offering putting away sin, anticipating the blood shedding and death of the man, Christ Jesus, the one offering that did put away sin. None of those put away sin. None of those ever put away sin. They merely covered it for a season. When he died, he did put away sin. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. They couldn't get the job done. Then said I, that is Christ Jesus, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he saith, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first testament, first priesthood, first offerings, first sacrifices, that he may establish the second, which is the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as mediator and head of his church, and bring in the New Testament, take away the old. Now look at this. By the which will? What will? The will of God. That was back up here in verse, I come to do thy will, O God, verse 7. By the which will we are sanctified, set apart, made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and no more. Now that's what that means. For all is added by the translators, and he did offer himself for all his people, but not for all and every man, as men say. Now, let's read on. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, had he not fully satisfied the Godhead in this matter of putting away the sins of those who were sanctified in him forever, had he not fully put away their sin, had he not justified them completely, had they not been reckoned not guilty in the eyes of Almighty God, he'd have never been raised from the dead, much less ascended to glory, and then sat down on the right hand of the Father. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are set apart, or them that are sanctified. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ mystical. That was hidden in the Old Testament. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now look down at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And you can read the rest of that, but look on over at verse 17. Now ye, that is believers, are the body of Christ. If the church is the body of Christ, Christ is the head of that body. And that's what the scriptures teach. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Nobody else could fit your slot that God had prepared for you. Members in particular. God picked out a place for you and prepared you for the place. Look at Colossians 1:18, and then we'll pass on. I might go to one other place. Look at Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Look at Romans 12:5. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. So I hope now that we've laid foundation here that we can go on. The church is the body of Jesus Christ in this world. And the church victorious in glory. That is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every individual person in that church, God hath from the beginning chosen you. It is a particular redemption. God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now there's the creation, the natural creation of this universe, that the infinite being that we call God spoke into existence. Now you and I got no clue about the immensity. He is incomprehensible to everyone in this universe except himself. We cannot understand such a being. But in his first creation, he spoke it into existence. But he's making a new creation. And is created in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are the life of this new creation. His gospel truths, the words. Yeah. Now, God's manner of creating is very mysterious. Look at Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 talks something about the first creation, but it's really, actually, about the new creation. Look at verse Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now That is the image that was the predestined image, the person of Jesus of Nazareth. His humanity. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let us make man in our image, in our own, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created man first. Then he took a rib out of man and made a woman. So woman was first in man. The church was first in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Members of him, of his flesh and of his bone. Ephesians 5:30. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. God looked at man. He had the spouse, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, in view when he first created man. He had Eve in view. I'm sorry, he had Eve in view, of course, when he first created Adam, because male and female created he them, and he doesn't give an account of the creation of Eve until the second chapter. But it's a picture, as the Old Testament is type and shadow of the new, it is a picture of the new creation in Jesus Christ. We are created in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:14. 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are the second, believers are the second creation. They are the new creation. And we are created in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Eve came out of Adam. The church comes out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. It is not good that the man should dwell alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So God created Eve for a helpmeet for Adam as a picture of the church as a helpmeet for Christ, unto bringing forth fruit unto God. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. Now, there's angels also. There are angels. There are guardian angels. Whether, of course, we can't see them, but they're all around us. They watch over us. They protect us. They guide and direct things by the providence of God to our production in time, and then they protect us until we're brought into the bond of the covenant. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. So our Lord Jesus Christ is the head over all things to the church, and it is the church that is his fullness, that is his body, his body parts. And it is him that fills all of the members by his Spirit. Isaiah 6:1. Let me go there just a minute. The church is the temple of the living God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We're the temple. His gifts and graces, his Spirit, fill his temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are perfected in righteousness by his righteousness. And we are holy, perfectly holy in the eyes of God in the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believest thou this? Everyone who can believe and lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life.